Hello and welcome. I'm Vincent Grissom, and this is Applying God's Word, a teaching ministry from the Word of God. This is study number 133, titled Christian Complacency and Indifference. In the medical world, the number one silent killer is high blood pressure. If it goes unchecked and untreated, it will eventually cause a heart attack, a stroke, or other serious medical problems, and even death. In the church, the silent killer is called complacency. One of the greatest dangers to a believer in Jesus is one's complacency and indifference. That is, to become content with lower standards than what God wants for you and I to live. The danger begins with becoming half-hearted in living the Christian life. Lapsing into half-hearted routines, such as singing with your mouth and not with your heart. Not applying the teachings to our life, but being content with simply nodding in agreement as the teaching is taught. There is also less urgency and indifference to the Great Commission command we are given. Jesus' final words, known as the Great Commission, are full of action. He commands us to go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. He didn't tell his disciples to sit back and relax in a cave. They weren't instructed to form little powwows and sing hymns until Jesus returns. Complacency and indifference are serious and dangerous and should not be left unaddressed. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Let's look at more symptoms of complacency. You become satisfied with the way things are. The I don't know and I don't care, or I do know, but I still don't really care to do anything type of thoughts and attitude. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38 says, Then he said to his disciples, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Complacency is when a Christian ignores this passage, thinking it applies to someone else, and goes about their day unconcerned and satisfied with their life as it is, thinking someone else will pray and someone else will be the laborer of his harvest field. In the picture that Jesus gives us of a plentiful harvest, he's talking about people who are apart from God and their sin, who need the gospel shared with them. The verses right before this talk about the compassion he has for them and the longing he has for them to be loved and to turn to himself. The harvest of people is plentiful. The problem isn't that the harvest is not ready to hear. The problem is the laborers are few. Let's not be lukewarm about this. Jesus is clear about how he feels about being lukewarm. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The middle ground being lukewarm is actually the lowest ground. Do you see that? Jesus says, I would rather have you hot or cold, not lukewarm. I would rather have you love or hate, but not indifference. You see, Jesus hates the middle ground. The truth is, the middle ground does not take a stand one way or the other. A hot cup of coffee is good, and a cold glass of water is good, but these drinks served lukewarm will likely be spat out. Jesus prefers hot or cold. The middle ground is neither. Complacency is the middle ground. In Genesis 25, we see the indifference of Esau regarding his birthright. Now, Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac. Isaac was a good son, and when he turned 40, he married Rebekah. Rebekah was not able to have children, but Isaac prayed for her, and God heard his prayer. Rebekah became pregnant. but she felt unusual movement was going on inside of her womb. So Rebecca went and prayed to the Lord, and he told her that she had twins inside her womb. God said, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Well, Esau was born first. He was red and he was hairy. He became a man of the field and a skillful hunter. Jacob, on the other hand, was content to stay at home among the tents. Let's pick it up in verse 29 of Genesis 25. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Let's consider this. If you were to receive a grand inheritance, would you consider it of little value? Would you sell it for a bag of potato chips and a bottle of soda? Would the satisfaction of the moment outweigh the promise of the future? Would you despise what has been promised to you? You see, Esau was indifferent about his birthright. He was complacent about God's will for his life. He was born the first son in the line of promise, an heir to the promises of God. You see, he was born for a purpose. God had a plan for his life. Yet, he sold a promise for a bowl of stew. So consider this as well. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God wants to bless your life. And my question today is, how are you treating the promises of God? Ask yourself, am I complacent about them? Am I indifferent about what God wants for me? Has my heart stopped caring about anything outside of myself and my comfort zone? Am I sensitive to and have a love for those who are yet to come to the Lord? There are people in this world that God wants to touch. And you know what? You are the one who can touch them. How are you treating your birthright? We have been reborn. How are you treating your inheritance? We are sons and daughters of God. Galatians chapter 4, verses 7 says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So how are you treating your family name? We are Christian. Have you ever wondered why those who are close to you can irritate you the most? Have you ever wondered why? You know, Joe neighbor down the street doesn't irritate you as much as your spouse does or your children do. Joe neighbor can do the most irritating things and it doesn't bother you. But your spouse or your child or your best friend can say the slightest thing and it sets you off. Why is that? I can tell you why. Because you are not complacent about your spouse. You are not indifferent about your child. You're concerned about your family. You're concerned about your best friend. Now, shouldn't we be concerned about the things of God? Shouldn't we have a passion for the things that God has a passion for? Shouldn't we love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates? If we don't, we are indifferent. Let's read what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Love is not indifferent. Love is not complacent. You are to love God with how much of your heart? How much of your soul? How much of your mind? All of it. Every bit of it. God does not want you to be a fence sitter. He does not want you complacent or indifferent about His will for your life. He wants you to have a passion for the things He has passion for. Where are you in your Christian walk today? Where do you stand? Are you just trying to drift by? Are you just being comfortable in your routine? Well, imagine, if you can, if Jesus was complacent and indifferent, we would have no salvation. But because Jesus was not complacent about you, Jesus was not indifferent about your salvation, we inherit eternal life. We have a Savior who loves you and I. We have a Savior who went to the cross with passion for you and I. Seek the Lord with all your strength. Seek the Lord with all your might. Brothers and sisters, pray earnestly and fight complacency and indifference. Renew your love for the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Let's pray. Lord, encourage us not to live complacent lives, but to be full of love for you and full of love for others, full of zeal for holiness, and full of passion for you and what you are passionate about. Lord, we don't want to be self-satisfied, smug, or self-righteous. We want to look to you as the light before our thoughts and our deeds. Amen.